The Luke 10, 1 to 20, which is the sending of the 70, is the gospel for Pentecost 6. There's some nice correlation in that the shalom, you know, proclaimed and promised in Isaiah 66 is manifested when Jesus sends out the 70 to bring peace to the different towns to which they're sent. But as sometimes happens when you get a nice New Testament fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy, the Old Testament has perhaps a fuller view of the final consummation. And one of the striking things about this mission text is that there are two responses to the mission. One is the positive response, of course, of faith, and the other is the response of opposition. And so the gospel lesson reminds us that you know, while the peace of God in Jesus is being spread abroad, if you will, at the same time, it's also being rejected. And I would suggest there's a kind of an easy mistake to make in preaching this text, and it would be to say, the 70 got sent out, you get sent out. And I think that's too direct, because these guys were sent out to handle snakes and do all kinds of stuff, you know. But I was reading a dissertation actually written by a friend of mine on this passage, and the suggestion was made in regard to the number 70, or is it 72? The suggestion was made that part of the import of this entire passage is to say, look, in chapter 9, Jesus sends out the 12. But that's not enough. Now, he sends out 70, or 72. Is the number symbolic? Nobody quite knows. The mission is expanding. And the first thing that Jesus says in this text is, the workers are few. So even 70 isn't enough. See? And so I think that might be a nice entree into, you know, it kind of opens the text up and then say, okay, now look, Christians, look, you know, Wrath of God, Lutheran Church, wherever you happen to be. You know, we're part of this expanding mission, but realize that until the final day, you know, the offer of peace will sometimes bring hatred. Okay? So again, I think you can make it be a good evangelism text, but I think you have to do it in kind of a skillful way that would honor the specificities of the text. So let's just kind of hammer through it with that basic thought in mind. Chapter 10, verse 1. We'll just kind of translate as we go. After these things, the Lord anadeksen, this is from anadeknumi, it's a weak aorist, indicative active, third singular. The Lord appointed or commissioned others, 70. 72, not sure, big debate, doesn't matter. And he sent them, anaduo, is it two duos? Is it ana dua dua? Doesn't matter. Two by two. What? Before his face, into every city and place, who is the relative pronoun? Actually, it's not the relative pronoun. It's the little word where. It looks like the genitive singular relative pronoun. It's a little word that means where. Where Amalan autos, he himself was, as they say in Texan, fixin to come, erchestai. Verse 2, and he kept on saying to them, now we have a men deck instruction, ha men theres mas palus, on the one hand, the harvest is much, hoide ergatai aligai, on the other hand, the workers, that's to supply the verb, are few, therefore, de aethata, from deomai, beseech or ask, it's a deponent verb. So this is actually the aorist imperative deponent, second plural. So it's a command. Beseech, therefore, and you beseech someone in the genitive case, beseech the Lord of the harvest that, or perhaps in order that, he might cast out or send out ergatos, workers, into the harvest of him. So again, I like this observation that this friend of mine made, that it's an expanding mission, right? So 70 isn't enough. Even as they go, they're supposed to pray for more, right? And then that's how I think we can get incorporated into the mission according to our vocations. And then the instructions come. Verse 3, hippagata, from hippago, just a present imperative. Go, look. And now we get the ambiguity. Apostello himas, hos arnas, and mesolikon. I am sending you as sheep or lambs in the middle of wolves. Strangely, don't take anything with you. And the invitation there is, believe that the message will create faith, and if faith, then hospitality. That's the way it looks. Right? So, may plus the present imperative, don't take a balanteon, a money bag, or a peron, just kind of a general purse or a bag, or sandals, and no one according to the way greet, aspasesta, links up with me dena. It ends up functioning like may plus the aorist subjunctive. It's a prohibition. Don't greet anyone according to the way, along the way. This is a little awkward, but if you just kind of run through it, it works. Verse 5, into whichever you enter house, and we know what that means, first say shalom, right? As Tom was saying, that holistic restoration. Peace to this house. And if there, huias Irenaeus, a son of peace, a peaceful guy, is the subjunctive from Amen, then your peace will remain upon it. This is my favorite string of little Greek words now. A de me ge. It means otherwise. How do I know this? I look it up in the lexicon. That's how I know this. Otherwise, upon you it, that is your peace, will return. In the very house, or in the house itself, meneta, remain, doing what? Eating and drinking, ta par auton, the things from them. Why? For the worker is worthy of his wage. See, by the way, a little coincidence, this precise clause, the worker is worthy of his wage, is quoted in 1 Timothy 6 as scripture. It's a little kind of isagogical sort of diddy-wah-do there, and asks the question of what did St. Paul know as scripture when he you know, writes 1 Timothy, right? So again, the sequence is important. The proclamation creates faith, and faith produces the caring for the messengers. And it still works that way today, right? At least if the church isn't fighting itself, and then we have other problems. And then we go to Matthew 18 or someplace like that. Continuing on, don't take a transfer. Don't go across, meta abinata, from house into house. Stay in one place, right? You're not allowed to go to another place because they serve better food, right? Don't ask for a pay raise. Verse 8, and into whichever city, ace erichista, you enter, and they receive you. See, there it is. Receiving you. Why would they receive them? Because of the message that they're bringing. Estheta, eat the being presented to you things, and, see, this is where you get the specificity, heal the innate sick people, and say to them, the reigning of God, the kinging of God, has come near upon you. But, verse 10, into whichever city you enter, and they do not dechomai you, they do not receive you, going out into its main street, say, even the dust which is joined to us from your city onto the feet, we are wiping off humine, dative of disadvantage, against you. But know this, that the kinging of God has come near. This is the crisis that comes with preaching the gospel. If it's believed, peace and salvation come. If it's rejected, damnation comes. It's dirty business. Verse 12, but I say to you that Sodomois, dative, for Sodom, in that day, on ek tateron, comparative adjective, it will be better than, the word a, for that city. And now some woes. Why soy Chorazin? Woe to you, Chorazin. Why soy Bethsaida? Woe to you, Bethsaida. By the way, here's your useless information for the day. The two dots above the iota in Bethsaida is called a deirisis, and it's to show that it's not a diphthong. It's two syllables. So if you can't preach on that, then there's probably something right about you. Yeah, so it's not Bethsaida, it's Bethsaida. Right. Just like it's not Kephas, it's Ka'e'aphas. And if your board of elders hears that, they will give you a raise. Woe to you, Bethsaida, because... Now we have a contrary to fact conditional sentence, which is very exciting. We have A plus the aorist indicative passive, eganathison, and in the second phrase, we have second clause, we have on plus another aorist indicative. So, contrary to fact. For if in Tyre and Sidon, hygienomes, the powers, the ones happening in you, eganathison, had happened, if they had happened, palai, long ago, there's on, oops, contrary to fact, long ago in Saka, which means sackcloth, and ashes, as they sat, they would have repented, but they didn't. But, dative of advantage, for Tyre and Sidon, an ek tateron, it will be better in the judgment than for you. This is hyperbole. It's not like you're only partially damned, you know. I mean, this is Jesus is using hyperbole, which he does all the time. It's really savage hyperbole because these are the classic enemies of Israel, right? And he says, it'll be better for them than it will be for you because you didn't repent when I showed up, when my messenger showed up. So again, I mean, it's completely non-politically correct, right? This is completely, what's the opposite of postmodern? Anti-modern? I mean, that, look, there's a crisis here. Jesus shows up and there's a crisis. You know, if you're led to trust in him and receive him, then you're saved. If you're not, you're going to hell. I mean, there's no way to get around it. It's kind of hard to be a Christian without having this part of the deal. So it should sober us and teach us that mission work is not easy. It's just not easy. Verse 15, quickly then, finish. Kaisu kafar na'um, and you, Capernaum, not until heaven will you be lifted up. Will you? Expect an answer, no. Until the Hades, you will go down. Verse 16. The one who hears you, remember that akuo can take a genitive case direct object, and that's what humon is. The direct object. The one who hears you, Jesus says, hears emu, me. And the one who nullifies or rejects you, another participle, rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So when you go out and speak Jesus' words, you're not doing it alone. Jesus is there. Right? So if they're saved, they're not saved because of you. They're saved because of Jesus. Right? And the text actually goes on through verse 20. The point here is, don't be a theologian of glory. Don't be primarily glad because of the results of your ministry. Because you know what? You don't know how it's going to go. But rather, glory in your salvation. And we'll just get there really fast. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, so apparently they go out and then they come back. Lord, even the demons, hypotasitai, are being subject to us in your name, because of your name. He said to them, Ethaorun, I was watching the Satan as like lightning from the sky or from heaven, he fell. Look, I have given to you the authority so as to step upon serpents and scorpions and upon every power of the enemy, and nothing will certainly ever harm you. See, you can't say that to your people, right? See, that's why you got to preach it in such a way that you don't overlook the historical specificity of what's going on. You know, right? But in this, don't rejoice that the spirits are being subject to you, but rejoice that your names have been written in heaven. And again, that's easy to play. That's easy to preach. And it's 20 minutes till, so it's time to stop.